The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine and mine know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and these also I must tend, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father, the Gospel of the Lord. Parable of the Good Shepherd, certainly one of the well-known parables. When people are asked oftentimes, what are some of your favorite images of Jesus, the idea of the Good Shepherd just seems to come through with people all the time. The Greek word used for good was kalos, and really it means much more than good. It means beautiful, fine, excellent, blameless, high moral character. And the Aramaic word was a word tawa, and it meant simply relationship or being in sync or being in harmony with. That is really more than good. There are a lot of good shepherds, but this is the ultimate shepherd. None other like him. This shepherd is no hired hand. He is the carer of the sheep, the provider, the feeder of the sheep. His sole purpose in being there is, or being, or existing is for the sheep, to be there for the sheep, to guide, lead, and direct them, and to build them up. A large piece of the parable today is devoted to a comparison between the hireling or the hired hand and the true shepherd of the sheep. And it's an appropriate reflection, particularly in these days when we are reflecting on the image of church. The image of church that we've been discussing and will continue to discuss for these 7 weeks before Pentecost. The church, described as a hospital, contains too many patients who fail to get well. The church, often described as a school, contains too many pupils who fail to learn. Is this the church's witness? And again, thank you for your responses. You've been responding so well to that. There are 4 more in the bulletin this week. We've got another 4. Continue to write me about that. It's an important dialogue. What is it that we are not capturing or getting? And the Good Shepherd is a great parable to reflect on that, because it's a comparison between the real shepherd and then those who do it simply because it's a job. A huge amount of our lives is taken up with work. A huge amount of ourself, our self-esteem, our self-worth is attached to the work that we do. That's just the way it is in our world. A man gets a pink slip on a Saturday and is dismissed from his work. It causes an absolute crisis for him. Why? Because his attachment to his work is particularly important. For him, it identifies a lot about who he is and what he does and why he does what he does. And so the way we see our work, the way we regard our work, is of pretty immense importance to us. If our work has meaning, then our work really becomes a blessing. If our work does not have so much meaning. If our work is a struggle, then it does not have the kind of meaning, and it can become a kind of a curse, or just an obstacle, a difficulty, a drudgery, a boredom for us. Generally, we tend to see this parable as the action of the Good Shepherd and maybe not go too far beyond that. And I know for many of the 40 years that I've been out, same thing is true. But today I invite you to look at it a little differently. It's more than what the Good Shepherd does for us. Seeking us out, calling us by name, finding us when we are lost, constantly watching over us and caring for us in our need. But it is more than that. It's a contrast between him and also a contrast between those who are hired to be a part of the shepherding in the kingdom. It's a big step into it. It's an invitation to go much deeper, looking at how we shepherd and how we guide others, because we all share in that mission of building up his kingdom. What is the difference between the hireling, the hired hand, and the good shepherd? The parable contrasts essentially the attitudes of both. The attitude of the hired hand, doing it because it's a job. His heart may not be in it because he's doing the work for pay, essentially. Now, that's not all bad. We live in a world where you got to do that. Nobody's going to come and put bread on your table, right? You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have a job, definitive, and you're going to have to labor to put bread on the table. Nobody comes and pays your insurance, health or house insurance or house note or anything else. We've got to have work to do that. But the work that we do and the manner in which we do that work is pretty important. It's not bad that sometimes we wind up doing it for pay, but hopefully we can get to a higher motivation, a higher level of response than just having to do it to put food on the table or to pay the bills. Just imagine how much more valuable my work could be. A new attitude in my work. The Good Shepherd does the work because he wants to do it. His heart is in the work. And people like the Good Shepherd, they're very fortunate. They're very fortunate. They are blessed people. They're very much like the people that Jesus speaks of in the gospel when he says they have found a treasure. Because their work, even though it is difficult and even though it is challenging and it may have many obstacles, they still have a sense of contentment because there's an integration into the whole experience of the kingdom in terms of what they are doing. It's not just kind of aimless work to get money, to take care of responsibilities. It's connected to the whole journey, the whole experience. And so it takes them much further into life. It's what their lives are about. It's about relationships. It's about communion. It's about engagement. It's about knowing people. It's about being with people. It's about appreciating people. It's about being appreciated yourself. These people who find a real value in their work, they find a treasure. They can pour themselves into their work, their whole hearts and their whole being, and it affords them an outlet to use or to give expression to their talents that are within, the gifts that God has given them. You ever seen a teacher really at work who just loves the work that she is doing or he is doing? How awesome. And there's no end to the time and effort and energy that they put into it. They just love doing it. Or a nurse who does that kind of work. And I'm sure you've seen them from time to time. Not everybody and not all nurses, but particularly people who love the job and the work that they are doing. And they are devoted to the people that they are working with. And they can stay going for hours. They can stay up overnight to be attentive, because they love this work that they are doing. It's not just the job. And it makes a huge difference. People who have truly found their vocation, who really are following the path of the shepherd, they know and they understand something special about life, and they know and understand something special about the gospel, because there's a connection there. A mother in ordinary circumstances could not go a whole day without food, but it has often happened in our world that a mother has gone without food for days simply to feed her starving children, because it's a labor of love. It's a commitment. We must never fail or fall into the trap of equating a happy life with an easy life. Easy to make that kind of mistake. The irony of it is, the harder the task that a person has, or the harder a task to which somebody, we ourselves devote ourselves, the more it raises us up, the more it brings us into the experience of kingdom. If it's easy, it doesn't require a great deal of effort and energy on my part. When it does require a great deal of effort and energy on my part in being attentive and responsive to people, the rewards that it brings are really significant. And what it does is it saves me from a kind of a half-heartedness and half-living my life. And so the contrast in the gospel today between Jesus, the good shepherd, who really immerses himself into the work, contrasting with us, how do we immerse ourselves into the proclamation of the kingdom, into the work that we do, into the ministry that we share? If my heart is not in what I am doing, then what am I becoming? Who am I becoming? It can be very dark for me, and it can be dark for those around me if I'm not finding life and energy in what I am doing, having a purposefulness in my intention. On the other hand, if my heart is really in my work and in what I am doing, then it is a blessing, not just for me, but it's a blessing for those around me and those that I am serving through my work. And it is an integral part of the journey towards salvation. It's really what helps us to understand how the Lord is bringing us to redemption. There are two great characteristics that I like in the story of the Good Shepherd. They are pretty outstanding. The Good Shepherd cares about all of his sheep to the point that he is willing to lay down his life for them. That's a big commitment, and Jesus has done it. And we celebrate it here in the crucifixion, but we also celebrate it here. We can know him through this experience, but we experience him through this experience. Doing this in memory of him, week in, week out, how important and valuable. Because a lot of people can know about the shepherd, but not all people will know the shepherd. Knowledge will not give us that intimate relationship with the shepherd. This is what brings us to the intimate relationship with the Good Shepherd, and having a balance between both of those realities, so important that I know him and know about him, but then I come to know him personally through the gift of Eucharist, which he has given me. So the Good Shepherd, he cares about his sheep to the point that he is willing to lay down his life, really committed to that service. And secondly, he knows them. He knows the sheep and they know him. Good leaders know their own people. There's a closeness between the leader and those being led. And without this experience, leadership becomes pretty pointless. In fact, it can become oppressive. Leading without that, trying to guide people further along the way and showing them that they are valued, a difference maker. And that was what Jesus was about as the Good Shepherd, wanting all of the sheep and wanting them all to know. He knows them, calls them by name, and invites them. And we only know that, not through knowledge, but through a personal experience of relationship with him. When my relationship, for example, with the church is restrictive, when I just come because of restrictive reasons, then it's hard for me to find purpose or meaning in what I am doing in the church. The church, often described as a hospital, contains too many patients who fail to get well. The church, often described as a school, contains too many pupils who fail to learn. Is this the church's witness in the world? Sick and ignorant disciples who know not the Christ whom they claim as Lord. That's what we are reflecting on. It's pretty important. And so when I feel obligated or obliged to be in attendance at church, and historically as Catholics, we've had an overabundance of that. You got to be there. It's not going to build much of a relationship. A relationship is built because I make the free choice to come, to be there, to be responsive to Him, because I am invited by Him and I take it seriously. And then if it is out of obligation, then it's hard for the church as a hospital or as a school to accomplish its goals. Maybe that's a part of the reason that we have patients who fail to get well and students who fail to learn, because we feel obliged. Let's remove the obligation and let's do this because He is the shepherd who leads and guides and invites us.